Brain Collective on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.
If you have children in school, you've probably heard of ADHD. It stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, and traditionally it has been linked to misbehaviour in class. But how much do you really know about it? Beth Parsons went along to the Brain Collective in Harrogate to find out more. First of all, ADHD actually refers to a whole range of different conditions, so there are a large number of cases. Beth asked Maria Walters how many cases there are.
There's no global consensus, but analysis have suggested worldwide that ADHD, or another word for that is hyperkinetic disorder, is prevalent pretty much between about 5.29% and over 7% in children and adolescents. Less so in older people over 44, but there is very little research in that area. But we suspect that it is just as prevalent in adolescents and in adults.
So what is ADHD? What can you expect to see from someone who has it? Melanie Adderley explains.
It's very important to understand that you can divide the attentional problems into either the ones that are associated with hyperactivity and impulsivity, or the ones that are associated with inattention. Those people who have the inattentive form don't tend to have the hyperactive form. When we do the QEG brain maps, we tend to see about three different changes in the brain that are associated with those sorts of symptoms. The one that is about 30% of this cohort is associated with an excess of the very slow frequencies in the brain and a deficiency of the very high frequencies in the brain. And that group tend to be associated with the hyperactive impulsive component associated with inattention. And the reason they run around is just to help to speed their own brains up. So they're self-medicating in some respects. And that cohort are the cohort that respond well to the stimulant drugs such as Ritalin.
Now, Ritalin. That probably rings a bell with you. It's a drug that is often synonymous with ADHD. It's not got the best of reputations, there are side effects, and although it does work for some, Melanie goes on to explain that a second group don't get much from it at all.
Another component actually have that slow wave activity, the excessive slow wave, but they also have an excess of the very fast wave activity. That cohort respond very badly to the stimulant behaviour, it actually makes them worse. And that cohort, not only are they inattentive and hyperactive, but often have associated anger management and oppositional symptoms as well.
There's also a third group within this ADHD spectrum. This group tends to be very daydreamy, and they
tend to have an excess of the, particularly the alpha frequencies, which makes them very daydreamy. And interestingly, although ADHD and ADD overall are more common in boys than in girls, the inattentive form tends to be more common in girls than boys.
When the team at the Brain Collective first meet someone with the symptoms of ADHD, they will do an EEG brain map of them. This is the same thing you'd get if you suffered an accident involving your head and went to hospital, and it allows them to see what's happening with the signals in the brain. With these ADHD cases, there are some profound physical changes happening to the brain, and that's backed up by research being done at the ADHD Institute. You can see a video at strayfm.com/health from King's College, and the video examines the differences in the structure of a child's brain when they have ADHD and when they don't. As Maria explains,
these children actually can't help that behaviour. Things like their frontal cortex and some of their temporal areas aren't developing at the same rate and the same way as their classmate who sits next to them, and it can cause some pretty huge problems educationally and as we grow into adult life.
So how do you recognise the symptoms?
The children who are always on the go, they're always climbing, they always interrupt adults, unable to play with any sort of quality. Then they move on as adolescents and they feel incredibly restless and impatient and fidgety. And in adults, what we're seeing is they feel a real inner restlessness also, and they're quite impulsive. It's the person always losing their bank cards, their keys, forgetting to pay their bills, really struggling to hold down a job, really struggling to hold down a relationship.
Sometimes as a parent, if you have a child displaying any of these symptoms, you can long for a diagnosis in order to get some support for your child. But that's not always the best thing, as Paula Conroy, the Brain Collective's former teacher, explains.
Although children who have what's called a diagnosis come to see us, we actually treat the symptoms of a child. We don't work on any diagnosis at all. Children who display any of the ADHD in classroom doesn't necessarily mean that that's what they have. We deal with a child as a person, see what their issues are, and we work to correct the dysfunction within the brain.
And the other point to make is also sometimes somebody can come to us with symptoms that fit with a diagnosis of ADHD or ADD, but in actual fact they don't fit into the categories that I previously discussed. And one of the commonest things that we see is sometimes people who have had a low-grade level of hypoxia around birth, sometimes very minimal levels of brain damage, they often present with very similar constellation of symptoms, but actually it's a very different underlying problem. And I think that's where we come in, because we're actually looking at what the underlying physiology is doing, what the underlying functional status of the brain is, identifying the dysregulation, and then training the brain to change into a better form of functioning.
If any of these symptoms are ringing a bell, you might want to get an appointment with the Brain Collective. It'll begin with a short phone consultation and then
come into clinic for an assessment, which might take a couple of hours, which is absolutely painless, but gives us a great deal of information, something like 16,000 pieces of data that we collect in that assessment. We would look at that data and feedback to that individual, very much as an educational exercise as well, because what we do is quite complex. And then we'd look to see if we can see the dysregulation, how we might help that individual.
The Brain Collective use a series of brain training activities alongside neurotherapy using low levels of electromagnetic energy to help ease the dysregulation in the brain, as Melanie explains.
So when somebody decides to proceed with training, we then sort of put together a programme, and that's very, very much individual. Everybody's brain's different, everybody needs different things. But we always start with the fundamental building blocks that we talk to clients or parents about: the importance of good sleep hygiene, taking regular exercise, and having a good healthy diet. Then in terms of clinic, we use a range of non-invasive stimulation techniques to help to guide the brain into better functioning. And then on top of that, we train the brain to stay in that place. We also do a lot of work with parents or children to suggest things that they can be doing outside clinic to support what we're doing in clinic. And that ranges from audiovisual entrainment devices that are relatively cheap to buy, to some very useful apps that you can download onto your iPad and phone that we think have been scientifically validated.
If you'd like to learn more about the Brain Collective and their work, and perhaps even arrange an assessment, visit their website at thebraincollective.co.uk.
The Brain Collective on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.